Continuing our coverage of the Association of the U.S. Army Conference here in Washington, our next guest is Major General Joseph Harrington, the commander of U.S. Army Africa. That, of course, is the Army component of U.S. Africa Command, DOD's newest geographic combatant command, which will mark its 10th anniversary next year.
I would venture to say, not in this audience, but in the broader American public, there's probably a lack of awareness that there even is a U.S. Africa Command or U.S. Army Africa. Talk about the value of having a dedicated combatant command, first of all, but dedicated Army force that pays exclusive attention to Africa.
Well, first of all, I'm Joe Harrington, and it's a pleasure to be here, and thanks for the opportunity to be interviewed by you. Africa, let me tell you a little bit about Africa first. Mm-hmm. Africa is 3.5 times the size of the U.S. It has 54 countries there, 2,100 different languages. By the time my son is middle age and he's 7 years old, one out of every four people born in the world will be African. So the place is exploding with potential and opportunities. So for us not to have a command there, I think would be a short-sighted on our country. And our country saw the value in where Africa is heading from a resource, from a population, from a host of things that are changing on that continent right now.
And what's the specific U.S. Army role in Africa at the moment?
Our job is to support U.S. AFRICOM. AFRICOM's mission, they give us lines of effort, and we are supporting them across supporting against combating VEO threats, helping capabilities and capacities of partner nations, building Army readiness by the opportunity to train with African partners, and enabling those African partners to be able to deal with those threats. Because, you know, you have Boko Haram is there, you have Al-Shabaab is there, and Daesh is there. And with our work with the countries on the continent, building their capability and capacity to fend for themselves.
What are the biggest specific security challenges that you're focused on right now? As you mentioned, very complex environment, very large geographic area.
Well, for U.S. Army Africa, my purpose is really, it's the long game. It's enabling the environment to improve over time, whether it be the special forces or the things that are going on in Libya. That's not really my domain. I observe it. I watch it. But mine is dealing with the partners, working long-term opportunities to improve their capabilities, tying in U.S. Army and the entire U.S. Army, reserves, active, National Guard, to work with our partners to build up their capabilities and at the same time providing great opportunities for our soldiers to deploy into that environment. It's fantastic. We had four platoons, two from the 82nd and two from 3ID this past summer, got to go through the French Jungle Warfare School in Gabon, Africa last year. And you see these young kids running around the swamps of Gabon and with French instructors, with Gabonese proctors, with a couple of other American instructors in there. What a great opportunity and the opportunities presented in Africa.
What are the most successful partnerships that you think that you have seen so far? Talk about some of the successes that you think you've had building that partner capacity.
Well, as you know, I've only been there for 4 months. So I picked up on the exercises that have General Williams launched. We run a series of exercises for AFRICOM. They're called the Accord Series. There's really one in the south, one in the west, one in central, and one in the east. And we work, what we do is, I almost won't answer that question, because in each one of those areas, we deal with about the 14, 15 countries in that area, and they all contribute forces. In fact, our European allies come down and work in those exercises as well. Those exercises have been going on for about 4 years, and there was a Dutch officer there. He's been to every single one of them ever. Yeah, I laughed at it. I said, boy, you could educate me on this. But those exercises are wonderful training opportunities for our entire Army to work with our partners. The big one coming up this year is in South Africa, and we also have one in Uganda at the same time. And the Uganda one will allow an American battalion to go over and partner with the Ugandan battalion and train and culminate with a company live fire. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
From a U.S. Army perspective, talk a bit about the concept of regionally aligned forces, because that Africa has always been a region of the world that's come up in that context.
I'm delighted you asked the question that way, because 4 years ago, they did not have regionally aligned forces in Africa. If the AFRICOM commander or the USARAF commander wanted forces, it would have to go through the RFF, request for forces, to the Secretary of Defense. there are regionally aligned forces now. We have one entire BCT of 4,000 or 5,000 guys, and then seven other brigade-level headquarters that provide the intellectual underpinnings of how we employ and engage on the continent. So looking at it from where we were to where we are, I am blessed to be able to have that opportunity to, one, build our capability and capacity with our partners, bring in the Reserve and National Guard, and build our own readiness as we put soldiers on the continent. And what an experience. We had a young Captain Cook from the 82nd Airborne Division. He had two C-17s. He flew from Green Ramp on an alert notification, jumped in Gabon, linked up with Gabon units and French paratroopers, and did a week-long training period with them. I mean, what an opportunity that is.
And, it, you know, as opposed to an RFF process that just rotates a unit in at random, what specific competencies does that bring to the table in a place like Africa? I mean, is it knowledge of local languages, understanding of geography, understanding of political situations?
Well, let me answer it in a different way. My priority, hands down, number one, is leader development. Because missions that we're going to have in the future, we may get something wrong. We won't quite see the enemy right. We won't quite have the right equipment. But if we have the right leaders, we've developed leaders because we've put them in austere locations. These young officers, when they go to Africa, they deal with country teams. They learn to deal with ambassadors. They deal with chiefs of defense. They deal with partners. So a lot of the people that they become friends with, that relationship may or may not foster over the years. But when they come back together, a lot of those African leaders go to American schools. And so the crisscross of cultural fertilization, like back in the late 90s, early 2000s, I climbed Kilimanjaro and I went on a safari. You've been able to discuss that with my African partners on multiple occasions because of my personal experiences there. Really helpful.